Well then, this Good Friday morning, I want to just begin to look with you at the Passion, and then on the Lord's Day morning, the Resurrection and the Exaltation of our Blessed Lord and Saviour. And doing so, as I hinted at the outset this morning, on the basis of those words that Jesus spoke in John chapter 12, verses 32 and 3, when he said, "I am lifted up from the earth. If I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." And this he said, signifying by what death he would die. Now, in speaking those words, Jesus tells everyone who heard them and everyone who reads them in Scripture very plainly where our thoughts should focus. There is nothing more important for you and for me, and indeed for everyone, to seriously think about today. We need to stop looking in. Stop looking around us. Stop looking down. Looking inwards, looking around, and looking down spells disaster. But no, what I want us to do this weekend is to look up. To look up. Because looking up, therein lies hope. The bottom line of every gospel minister's work is in the words of an old hymn. It is to lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. And in this, the first of three sermons then this Easter, we're going to begin by looking up to the cross. Looking up to the cross. And as I do so, Isaiah's words ring out. "Look unto me, and be saved, all you ends of the earth." Let's look up to the cross and see our salvation. And it may be to find salvation. Let's look up this morning to the crucified Lord and be saved. Because you see, looking up to the cross, we see him there who made an end of all our sin. And when that happens, we shall be drawn out to adore his sacred name. And ere we leave this place this morning, I want us to be so drawn out that as we go home, we shall go home adoring that sacred name of Jesus. Let's look up this morning from the foot of the cross of Calvary as we join some of the women there. We read about them in John 19 and verses 25 to 7. Let's join Jesus' own mother. She was there at the foot of the cross. She needed to be saved. She needed to look up to him, her son. Oh, away with the idea that Mary does not need salvation. Away with the idea that we can come to God through Mary's intercession. She needed an intercessor herself. And it is in looking up to her son on the cross she found that intercessor, and so shall we. His mother's sister was there. There was Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And the disciple, John, the disciple that Jesus loved. Let's join these folk at the foot of the cross. And as we look up, what do we see? We see Jesus Christ taking the place of sinners. That's it in a nutshell. Jesus Christ taking the place of sinners. If I use John the Baptist's words, they sum up what we see on the cross. What did John say at the beginning of his ministry? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it's interesting, that phrase, that word, that verb, takes away. If you look at it closely, he is saying, look, behold the Lamb of God who is taking away. And everyone who comes to the cross sees him taking away the sin of his people. And when we think of the Lamb of God, we're immediately taken, aren't we, to the whole principle of sacrifice, substitution and atonement. That, of course, is what a sacrifice was all about. It was, in the Old Testament, it was a lamb, or a kid of the goats, or an ox, or whatever. But it was essentially a creature that was perfect, that had to lay down its life. Its blood was shed to make atonement. And I'll come to that word atonement in a moment. To make atonement for the sinner who was offering it. Behold the Lamb of God, the great sacrifice, the ultimate and the final sacrifice for sin. Behold him on the cross, being offered and taking away the sin. But this great word atonement, what a wonderful word it is. It speaks to us of a great and a double exchange. That's what an atonement is. It's a great exchange taking place between two. It's a beautiful word. It's a word that is often sort of downplayed today. We try and find another word, but there is no substitute word for the word atonement, really. You see, it's only a sinless man who is qualified to take the place of lawbreakers and bear their penalty. And that's what was happening on the cross. An atonement was taking place. Someone was standing in the place of another. A great exchange of position. So see what was happening. Before the cross, the Son of God exchanged heaven for earth. That was the first stage in the great work of atonement. It was a great exchange, the Son of God exchanging heaven for earth. We sing, don't we, at Christmas time, behold, the great Creator makes himself a house of clay. What does he do? He takes a robe of human flesh, which he will wear forever. He's still wearing that robe of flesh. The Son of God became the Son of Man. Or as Paul writes in that wonderful letter to the Galatians, when the fullness of the time had come, what happened? God sent forth his Son. The Son was there before he entered the world. And God sent his Son into the world. He sent him forth. He sent him born of a woman, born under the law, that he might keep that law, that he might redeem those who were under and condemned by that law. A great exchange took place. First of all, in the mind of God, in eternity past, that great exchange began as the Son of God exchanged heaven for earth. He was born under the law to keep it in a human life, walking the face of this world. Isn't that what he said? Did he not say, do not think I have come to destroy the law or the prophets? No, no. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill it. To keep the law perfectly and to fulfill every prophecy made concerning me in the law and in the prophets. The great exchange, heaven for earth. But more than that, having fulfilled the law we have broken, the Son of God exchanged his righteousness for our sin. Atonement, a great exchange. And that's what he was doing at the cross. He had to come from heaven to earth. He had to make that first exchange that he might then make that next exchange at the cross. Because there on the cross, our sin was laid upon him and put to his account, just as Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53. That's why I read it this morning. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Or as the hymn sings, he took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He took them to himself. He took my sin and he said, I'm taking that sin and I'm going to bear the penalty for it. It wasn't on my initiative. It was his divine initiative. He took my sins. He took my sorrows. Let's face it, friends. I didn't want to give up my sin. Nor did you. But he came. He was determined to take my sin. Oh, praise his name. He took it. He didn't wait for me to give it to him. Because that would never have happened. But he took it. And he made it his very own. He said, I'm going to stand in the place of the one who has sinned. And to do that, he bore the burden of my sin and the sorrows of that sin. And when we use the word sorrows there, it embraces all the consequences. He bore that burden of sin and its consequences to Calvary. Well, if I was to come to you and take something of yours away from you and take it somewhere else, I'm doing it in your place, aren't I? You don't go there. I wouldn't want to go to the cross. But that's where I deserve to go. Jesus came and he took my sin. He took my guilt. He took all the consequences. And he took it all to the cross where he bore and carried the consequences. And justice cannot payment twice demand. That's injustice. No. First at my bleeding surety's hand, then again at mine. That's an impossibility. No. He exchanged. He took my sins and I was covered in them. All our righteousnesses are but as filthy rags. And he took all those filthy rags, put them on himself and put his robe of righteousness on us. That's what was happening at the cross. That's what was happening in the atonement. The great exchange. Jesus, the Son of God, exchanging heaven for earth and exchanging his righteousness for our sin. And that entailed that the Son of God should exchange a throne for a cross. That's the culmination of it. You see, he left the place of God's infinite blessing to go to the place of God's infinite cursing. What an exchange. And he did it himself. And he did it willingly. He did it voluntarily. And yet he did it in obedience. And he did it in love. And the Father sent his Son to do that in love. My son, go and do what I've given you to do. And he came and did it. To take the place of God's curse. He went to the place we deserve to go to. That's where we deserve to be. Under God's wrath and curse forever. For infinity, for eternity. Isn't that what Jesus said he came to do? Or what Paul said he did, rather, in Galatians 3? He redeemed us from the curse of the law. He paid the penalty that God's law demands, having become a curse for us. For it is written in the Old Testament, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Why was he wounded? Not for his transgressions, but for ours. Why was he bruised? Not for our iniquities, not for his iniquities, but for ours. Why was he chastened? Not because he deserved it, but because we deserve it. Oh friend, let's look up this morning. Let us look up and praise God for the Lamb of God who offered himself at Calvary. Behold that scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus where? In the sinner's place. That's what you see at the cross. There you see heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame. There, rebels against God will adore his name because on their account he suffered and now they are free. But I must take another look at the cross. Not only at what was going on there, what was taking place, but let's come to the cross again. Look up. You know, if you see what see that place, you hang your head, don't you? In shame that you should bring the Saviour to that place. But he says, don't be ashamed. Look up to me, and listen to what I say. Because there on that cross, Jesus completed the work that he came to do. What wonderful word came from his lips in that dying cry. It is finished. He's not only taking our sin, taking our place, but he's completing the work that he came to do. It is finished. That Greek word, tetelestai, what a wonderful word it is. What it means is this. To end something. To complete something. To execute something. To conclude or to discharge. And it's usually used in regard to a debt. The debt comes to an end. It's paid. The debt is no longer owing. Everything's completed. It's settled. There's nothing to pay. It's discharged. That's what Jesus cried out in his last breath. The debt of sin is paid. It's done. It's finished. I have discharged the work that I came to complete. It's done. And the resurrection, as we shall see, is the divine receipt and acknowledgement that what Jesus did was done and was accepted by God. And this has glorious implications for us, doesn't it? That Jesus took our place and completed what he came to do. The Son of God came to save the lost. Those are his own words. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was earlier on in the Lord's ministry. But now we can say the Son of God has saved the lost. And that's what he said on the cross. He said during his life, I have come to do it. And on the cross, his last breath is, and I've done it. I've done it. I have done what I came to do. And that is why I can stand in front of you this morning. He came to save the lost. He has saved the lost. And he will save the lost. What a great gospel it is. Jesus said so. It's the will of the great triune God himself. All that the Father gives me, that is the Son, will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He has done what the Father wanted him to do. I have come down from heaven, he said, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him, the Father who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. Friend, Christ came to save. On the cross he saved. And we can say now, he will save all who come to him by faith. All who repent of their sin and believe in him. Because that is the will of God. We do not preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ. We do not preach our word, but God's word. And God himself said, whoever believes in my Son shall be saved. What a great thing it is, isn't it? What a great gospel. Someone has come, friends. Come from heaven's high glory. He's made an exchange. He exchanged heaven for earth. He exchanged his righteousness for our sin. And he exchanged heaven's glory for earth's shame, that all who turn to him might be saved. Whoever does not believe is condemned already. I am always saying we must not separate John 3:16 from John 3:18. Well, 16, 17 and 18. They stand and fall as one. He who believes shall be saved. He who does not believe is condemned. Doesn't say shall be condemned, but is already condemned. But the moment we turn to that cross, we're saved and the condemnation is lifted. Where does this leave you this Easter? I've only in a few words, very feebly, just tried to set the cross before you this morning. Lift high the cross, those words that great processional has been ringing through my mind for weeks lift high the cross. I've tried to lift it up to you this morning. But friend, have you looked up to that cross? Have you seen on that cross by faith the Saviour who came into the world? Have you seen that hanging on that cross is the one who lived the life that you will never live, to God's satisfaction? And that in going to that cross, He has died the death that you deserve to die when you leave this world. Under the wrath of God, under the curse of the Almighty. Are you trusting in Him and His work alone? We don't need a crucifix to look up to. The cross is empty. He has done the work. There's nothing else to do. Are you trusting in Him, the one who hung there and is now risen again? Oh, my friend, are you relying on what He has done alone? Oh, stress that word, alone. Perhaps you're unsure this morning. I'm not sure whether I have or not. Well, come now then. Come in repentance of your uncertainty. Come repenting of your unbelief. Come repenting of your sin to the foot of the cross and hear that wonderful voice from heaven saying, look up, look unto me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. I am God, there is no other. And Jesus, He says, I am the Saviour, and there is no other. Look, look, look and live. Look to the Father's grace and mercy, which brought the Son to the cross. Look to the Son's atonement and intercession. And look to the Holy Spirit to move you and to bring you not only to look up, but to receive that atonement. And then, and only then, will you be able to sing from a full heart. Oh, I trust we can go home this morning singing from a full heart. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. The great exchange. Just take that home with you. Look what Jesus exchanged. And look what exchange you can make. Or receive, I should say. Because the sinless Saviour died in my place, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied. And there's another great exchange. He turns His look of anger from me to His Son. And His look of delight from Him onto me. That's the simple gospel. The great exchange that Jesus made. Look unto me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. Let's pray.